powered by passion. It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with your host, National Fixed Operations Training Manager, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with National Auto Care. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Joshua Taylor, founder of Wrench Turners Online and the Wrench Turner Podcast. Joshua, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Thank you very much for having me, Corey. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you have no idea. I've been looking forward to having this conversation with you and talking about this because everyone who's ever met me knows that I'm great at breaking things. Fixing them is not my bag, right? So we're going to talk about technicians, right? Not just technicians from a fundamental standpoint of why they're important. We don't have enough of them in the shop, all that stuff. We're actually going to take a deep dive into this episode and talk about the well-being of technicians. Why is that important? But before we get into the podcast, can you tell our audience a little bit about you, history of how you started in the business and where you are right now?
Absolutely, Corey. So started over 20 years ago in a shop not too far away from here. It's a Chrysler store. My grandfather got me in the door and met the owner, who happened to be a former Maple Leaf, which was kind of cool back then.
Now you're in Canada, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. So I am your lumberjack from the north. So I spent roughly 5 years in a couple of stores getting my apprenticeship and then slowly getting my my license. Got my license, flat rate tech for a while, a couple of years, came off the bench, service advisor at a Chrysler store for a couple of years, got an opportunity to work for Mercedes-Benz, as well as get to be a fixed ops manager at a Mitsu store. Tried to work my way home, a couple of different opportunities presented, got the opportunity to be a strategist for a social media marketer and implementation and kinds of things like that. Got to work for a software developer for a little while, so all kinds of diverse in nature over the last 20 years, but everything seemed to have around automotive in one way or another. And now I've got an opportunity to currently work at a power sports store back on the bench about 5 minutes from my home, trying to get my second license.
That's awesome. Tell us a little bit about the Wrench Turners and the podcast a little bit.
So over the years, I tried to work on my level of arrogance. It was back about 5 years ago. I thought I'd start Just Work Hard Consulting because I knew everything. So over time, I've realized that I didn't know everything, as parents usually say to the children, like I'm saying to my nine-year-old now, if you know everything, you should move out. Well, I realized that starting a business is much the same way. You learn very quickly that you don't know everything. And over time, I've learned that I need to take some notes from my grandfathers, as it were. Both of them were quite successful over their entire careers and their entire lives because they served their community. So automotive has served me quite well over the last 20 years, providing for myself and my family. So I figured out last year that I need to be doing something to give back to my community, the community that's provided me a success for 20 years. And what can I do for mechanics? And in the journey of trying to figure that out, I came across some rather frightening things. One of them was around this time last year, I was reading an article about suicides in professions and finding out that mechanics fall in the top three professions that commit suicide. This is a scary thing to be able to pinpoint that in 2020, there was 311 mechanic suicides.
Wow.
It's a very scary number. Very, very scary number. It's scary to think that when we break down, and we're talking about American numbers here, not Canadian or rest of the world, we're talking very specifically the American numbers published by the CDC, that 1 in 27 Americans are thinking about suicide, that 1 in 275 are attempting suicide, and unfortunately, 1 in 7,000 are being successful. That's crazy that those numbers are so very small.
So the birth of Wrench Turners kind of came online?
Yes. So it came across that once I figured these numbers out and how they pertain to automotive and more specifically to mechanics, what is it that I can do to give back to my community to help prevent that? Well, where there are lots of technical trainers out there. There are lots of, you know, productivity specialists. There are, you know, specifically technical. So we talk about brand training all the time and how important brand training is. And brand training for a technician is vital in terms of income. But when it comes to that, there's lots of those out there. But is there anybody out there teaching them how to communicate, how to improve their environment, how to relay how they feel and how they think to service advisors and management so that they can, the management team can improve life and well-being for the technicians? And there isn't anybody out there doing that. There isn't anybody out there caring for their well-being from a mental standpoint, from an emotional standpoint. So I came up with the Wrenchner's Wellness Survey, a way to gauge the environment around the technician so that service leaders can improve the environment so they can come in a little bit less stressful every day, you know, reduce their anxieties, reduce, you know, the challenges that they have in their immediate area that has nothing to do with technical training or some kind of new wrench for a special service tool.
I love that. And then, so now there is a person that does that, and that is you.
Correct.
I love it. So this podcast is tailor-made for you. And it's really near and dear to my heart. Ever since I first heard you speak about it, I never thought of it from that particular standpoint. So let's jump right into this podcast. Technicians are in high demand. We'd all agree with that, right? There isn't enough of them, right? They're retiring and they're going into a different career. And the ones that we do have, there's a lot of pressure on them to not only perform at a high level, but to get the work done and keep moving forward, right? So in your mind, why should we be wary of their mental well-being?
So a couple of things. First, recent survey by Forbes, Generation Z has listed mental wellness as their primary focus going forward. It's the first time that that survey has ever been performed on a generation, and it wasn't income or family or some other form. Generation Z is the first generation to list mental wellness as their primary focus. That's one. If we've got a technician shortage, and I believe that it's a little bit more specific than that. It's not necessarily a technician shortage. It's an apprentice shortage. And I look at it at apprentices are any technician that's got less than 5 years of experience. So we want new people into our trade as well as keep folks in the trade, but new folks in the trade. Well, that's Generation Z. So if their focus is mental wellness, so should our focus be. Two, anxiety as a whole. Anxiety costs the American businesses $42 billion in 2022 in wasted productivity. So what can we do as leaders to improve the environment around these folks so they have less anxiety? Less stress, less conflict, less challenges in their day. What challenges can we and what barriers can we remove from their day to improve it? We're not talking about necessarily pay either, because using the survey as an example, there is a threshold for every single person and it's different, but there is a much lower than cognizant average of income when technicians stop thinking about that as a priority. And communication and empathy and trust becomes a priority. That number is roughly $55,000. It's not an obscene number. It's not 80. It's not 100. It's not $150,000. It's $55,000. And from research thus far, the average cost of living in America is somewhere around that, which kind of puts hand in pocket in terms of how well it fits. Basically means that technicians in America, which is the information that I have, technicians in America, when they are paid at least the cost of living, they start focusing on their environment. So how well the service advisors talk to them, how well the service manager talks to them, how much trust is in the team to work so that they feel safe to ask questions when they're challenged. These are things that come up once the income level is above that threshold as the priority.
That's interesting that you say that. So whether it was, you know, when I was working at Tweeter, which was a mid to high end store, we sold audio for the car and stuff like that. I would go sell this job to do a deck install and some subwoofers. And the tech that was back there was just angry. And I'd come back out front. I'm like, man, why did he talk to me that way? And the manager, she's like, that's just how techs are. So that was my first introduction. Then I got into the car business and I'd have a run in with a technician. I'm like, oh, that's just how techs are. Right. We kind of, you know, sweep it over the other side of the corner of the office saying, ah, that's just how they are. Right. They're all grumpy. Right. But what you're really talking about is that they may not all be grumpy. They're disappointed, or they're full of anxiety, or they're full of self-doubt. Right. And that mindset almost keeps them secluded, right, on their own little island, their own little lift, if you will, right, with their bay and their fancy tools and all that stuff. They don't know how to express themselves, right? So I really love where this is going, because I've never really thought about it like that. We thought about, you know, as a society, we've talked about, you know, anxiety of, you know, human behavior. We've talked about, you know, those thoughts of suicide and all that stuff, but we've never really broken it down into profession, right? That I've ever heard, and how you're really talking about this. And now you have a business that can help reduce some of that anxiety and that stress, right? So kind of walk me through, if I was a technician, what is the one thing that you do once I meet you, right? What is there something that I answer a bunch of questions? Do I lay down on the couch? What happens?
It's closer to lay down on the couch, to be honest. All right. I've had half a dozen technicians call me a therapist. So I am not a registered therapist by any means, but it's good to know that they are thinking of it that way, because that's kind of where my headspace is in terms of that, because the biggest thing that I can do is listen, because for the most part, that's what they feel they're not getting. And that's, again, reiterating, and not to plug myself here, but that's why I created the survey. It's an objective way for leaders to listen. So yeah. you have a whole team. Let's say you've got, and we're going to use the gnarly number 27 here. If you've got 27 techs in your shop, that means one of those is thinking about suicide.
Wow.
Okay. That's the one in 27.
Wow.
Okay. Let's use that as an example. So that's the bottom of the barrel in terms of negative emotions, depression, anxiety, stress, potentially mental wellness challenges, diseases, and things of that nature. They may or may not be seeking professional help, but let's use that number for an example. On the survey, most often the worst of the shop life 20 questions, the worst is they don't feel they're being listened to in the service drive. So we can break that down in lots of different ways. And when I do a coaching session with technicians, I ask them, do you feel you're listened to in the service drive? They all say no. It's like, okay, how can we break this down? There's two sides. There's actually probably three or four sides to the story, but there's two fundamental sides to the story. If a technician doesn't feel they're being listened to in the service drive, two things are happening for sure. One, they aren't actually being listened to. And two, they're not communicating well. So the content I produce every day, and you might be being inundated, Corey, with all the stuff that I produce every day, but between the podcast, between the newsletters, between the daily content, coming up with tangible tactics for technicians to speak clearly and empathetically. Because if we can do that in a manner that elicits a professional response, it's positive breeds positive, negative breeds negative. So if we come up to the service drive and we're being grumpy, we're that grumpy technician. If we are that grumpy person talking to a person in front of us that has done us no wrong, we're going to get a grumpy response. So if I can help them be not necessarily grumpy, but take them to the next level, go from dissatisfied to at least neutral so they can talk professionally and they can talk empathetically, they're now going to get a professional empathetic response. Period. End of chat. And so, then the other side of that is what you take care of on a regular basis, Corey, is the service advisor. How can we get service advisors to listen so that they can actively respond?
I love that. Okay. So every great invention, everything that we come to know and love, whether it's the the lights, the TV screens, the automobile, right, came from a vision, right? What was your aha moment where you thought of this?
Objectivity, I think, is the when I put the emotions together, it's like technicians are going to sound, make this feel, are going to be thinking this is a bunch of wish-wash, pish-posh, fluff, psychological bullshit. It's like, okay. And service leaders, same thing. This is a bunch of bullshit. Nobody's going to, I don't know what this is. I don't really care about it. It's not going to make me any money. Fair. Okay. So that's why I broke the survey down into three pieces, because I realized that A, service leaders need to see this objectively in order to utilize it objectively so they can make money with it. Two, technicians need to get something out of it because they need to be listened to. If they're listened to, I know I'm helping them and I know their day is going to improve. And that's fundamentally what I'm trying to do. I want their day to improve. I want to be happier, healthier, more productive during the day. And three, everything has to be objective. Every time, I'm going to say this over and over again, it has to be objective. So the life satisfaction score, that's the third part of the survey, allows me to overlay and contextualize each part of the survey. How happy they are versus their income, how happy they are versus trust, how happy they are versus their productivity, because they're giving that kind of information. So, and then down the line, the more data that comes in from technicians, the more I'm able to give back. So one of the biggest concerns, as everybody knows, is pay. Well, right now, pay is subjective, because you walk in as a technician, you walk into a service leader's office and, you know, you happen to be a 10-year tech. You're asking, let's say you're asking $75,000 a year or the equivalent. So like $35 an hour or whatever it is, flat rate. And the service manager is going, $35 an hour? What's this? What's this? You're not worth that. You're not worth that. And you get all of those kind of flagrant comments and subjective comments. Well, the survey long term, once I get enough data in there, I'm going to publish it in the form of a filterable platform so that service leaders and mechanics can go on and click 10 years, GM, Virginia, 10 years, 5 ASE certifications, level 3 certified.
Oh, wow.
And it's no longer going to be a range that is subjective based on the service leader and what the technician will accept. It's now an amalgamation of their peers. So it's this range, this $32 an hour to $33.5 an hour is the range flat rate that position is worth based on those credentials.
I love that. You have this whole big plan, right? I like that. Yep. Okay.
Got to have a short, medium, and long-term plan.
So let's get back to the well-being of the technician. How can I help them, right? If I'm a service manager or a GM or an owner or even a shop foreman, how can I help the technicians that work for me?
Barring the hard discussions about pay, just having discussions. One-to-ones quarterly. Not once a year, like genuine, honest one-to-ones, not a performance review, not a, you know, you did 100 hours of warranty and 100 hours of whatever the number between reviews is, but genuine, honest one-to-ones. And I'll preach it and I will praise him for doing this, but Lamont Harris has a relationship manual. I would suggest as a service manager that you go to your local dispensary of stationery. You get yourself a really thick, lined, ringed booklet. You write everybody's name down and you start filling out information that is important to them. What their wife's name is, what their husband's name is, what their children's name is, what their birthdays are, what their anniversary is. You go deeper. It's like they went on vacation last year from March 13th to March 18th and they went bass fishing in Florida. Write that stuff down so that it's relevant the next time you talk to them. It's like, hey, you know, last spring you went away. You going away this spring? When people feel that they're listened to, they will start giving more information. When they start giving more information, you can reduce expenses like, you know, they broke or found a broke special service tool. Well, we all know that when you have broken special service tools, you can't do the job. And the last thing you want to do is have that job on a hoist for somebody, and that person goes to the special server tool and it's broken and now you can't do the job. That's thousands of dollars of wasted productivity that you now have to put back outside because you can't do the job, and you now have to order it and you have to wait a couple of days to get it, blah, 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 blah. So listen, one-to-ones, build trust, listen, and write it all down.
Now, I really like that, because writing it all down is valuable, because I might not remember, like I have 50, 60 people that I'm in charge of, right? I'm not going to remember when you went on vacation. It doesn't mean I don't care. It just means I don't remember. So what a great tool to have that, you know. It's almost like being in the hotel industry, right? Someone that comes to your hotel once a year, you get to know them a little bit more. You get to know why they're coming there every year, right? How's your anniversary? That kind of stuff makes them feel good. It's the whole norm from Cheers, right? I'm dating myself by saying that, but it makes makes them feel good, right? It's the same thing when you're in a class, right? And you get the answer right in class. Your teacher said, perfect. It made you feel good, right? It gave you those endorphins to say, oh, I want to feel that again. Right. So that lifts everything up. You're almost able to deal with the technician just, you know, or a customer just yelled at me because I didn't fix their car right the first time, or the part is on back order again. I got to push this back out of the shop. Right. All the crap that they have to deal with. Right. Let's just call it what it is. So doing that, that's a great tip. So how do I create a safe place for the technician? If it's never been, if for years, for decades, it's been, you know, you get ridiculed for saying anything about feelings, right? How do I change the culture to make it a safe place?
I think it's building the trust by having those one-to-ones. I genuinely believe it's doing the one-to-ones. It's not an overnight. There is no overnight success for trust. We all know it, but we all think that we can build it overnight. You want to affect change. Some things you can change in 30 days. Some things you can change in 90 days. Some things take years, especially when it's been years of negative being piled on. You're in some shops that I've talked to technicians to, it's literally been decades of nothing but poor leadership, poor ownership, or whatever the case may be. They are beat down. They are miserable. Their lives are outside of work is miserable because their day's miserable. And like my dad says, if you're not happy at home, you're not going to be happy at work. If you're not happy at work, you're not going to be happy at home. And it's a cycle of negativity. So if service leaders out there can be positive, be reassuring, be trusting, building trust, putting that trust into the bank account, as it were, every single day. We need the positive every single day. Reaffirm the positive. If you use the 80-20 rule in and invert it, because usually in a technician's day, there's four reasons that a service manager is going to come talk to a technician. Sorry, five reasons that a service manager is going to talk to a technician. Four of them are negative. Invert it. You should talk to them four times positively before you come to the fifth time, which is negative. Invert it. Make sure that one in five times is negative. Make sure the other four is positive.
I love that. It's almost so treating the technician like an ATM, right? I'm going to make virtual deposits into your bank, right? And then when I need to withdraw it, hey, Joshua, I need you to stay late and get Mrs. Jones' vehicle done because she's going on vacation tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. You're more apt to say, yes, no problem, because I've done all the heavy lifting of to getting to know you, to asking how you're doing, to inverting, you know, instead of just coming and saying, you suck, right? I'm saying great things. Thanks for doing this, going above and beyond. Here's some kudos, right? I really need you to get on the same page of doing this, because that's the one thing we're falling short in. Can I get your help there? Right. I love that, Josh. I really do. There's so many new managers being forced into the position. And I'll say that because they were good advisors. Now you've got a service manager that's retiring, and the ownership of the dealership is saying, okay, we're going to make our lead advisor, our service manager. And they don't really know how to truly lead. Right. So by you saying, do these small little things and build trust and value, you'll get more from the technicians. Not only that, but they'll have a better mindset than they do if you just treat them the old way. The old way doesn't work anymore.
100%. I don't think it actually ever worked. I think it generationally, there was more tolerance because there was a thought process that there wasn't anything else. And I think one of the biggest changes and differences between generations is now the this incoming generation has options.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, for example, where I live here in Canada, I can walk down the street. If I wanted to quit my job at the shop today, now I make a good wage and I've got lots of perks of being there. But if I wanted to quit, I could walk down the street and I'm hourly. I could walk down the street to the A&W. I'm not joking. I can walk down the street to the A&W burger shop, which is about 300 feet from my house. And I could make $8 less an hour.
Wow.
Not $20 less, not $15 less, $8 less an hour.
And
there is a
less
sign
stress.
Out significantly less stress.
Yeah.
So as an industry, you have to understand that if they don't want to have any stress, there are lots of options out there with significantly less headaches, significantly less physicality, significantly less physicality challenges, meaning I'm almost 40. It's a hard day's work. It's not just a hard day's work anymore. It's a hard day's work. I am sore at the end of an 8 to 10 hour day.
Yeah.
Like it's physically challenging. They have options.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have options.
You're 100% right. So we're right up against the time here, Joshua. Could you give us your three takeaways from this episode in your mind that a service manager, or service advisor, someone in the leadership at the dealership can really take away from this episode?
Really inexpensive or free things. Three, having a relationship manual. Write everything down, especially the super intimate details. Make sure you write it down. Two, one-to-ones quarterly, not necessarily including performance reviews. If you do your reviews on a regular basis, you hand out weekly sheets and you say, you know, you're up, you're down, whatever, whatever, not those. One-to-ones that are actual one-to-ones, person-to-person. And three, the working environment is more important to every technician out there than you could possibly imagine. Look around for the really small details and you will probably find more productivity, more wellness, more happiness and morale in something like putting the special service tools and painting the floor where they go, like the AC machine. A small, super, super small details that can literally take the shop to the next level.
I love that. Those are three great takeaways. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. Do you want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training to unlock that potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@nationalautocare.com. Joshua, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for watching and listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith, powered by Pasha. Be sure to watch and listen to the next episode on the 5th and 20th of every month.